When the demon arrived there, he saw Lord Shiva sitting in a yogic meditation posture at the root of a fig tree. Looking as bright as a million suns, Lord Shiva was smiling. He appeared as though the infinite light were radiating from every pore of his body. He was wearing a tiger skin and holding a trident and axe, and his head was covered with bright bunches of matted hair. He had five faces and three eyes in each, and there were sacred snakes coiled around his neck. He was the death of death, the destroyer of the world, and a powerful lord. His face was serene and beautiful. He immortalizes his devotees, awards the fruits of asceticism, and is a source of prosperity. He destroys the world and rescues sinners from hell. Upon seeing Lord Shiva, Shankarachuda got down from his chariot and, with his entire army, bowed low to him. He also saluted Bhadrakali, who was on Lord Shiva's left side, and Kartikeya, who was in the front. In response, they bestowed blessings on him. Nandi and other devotees of Lord Shiva got up and greeted him in a suitable manner. Shankarachuda spoke cordially to them and then sat down beside Lord Shiva, who greeted him cheerfully and said,
O King, Lord Brahma, the creator of the world and the father of religious duty, had a Vaishnav son named Marichi, who begat the virtuous Kashyapa. Daksha, another son of Lord Brahma, bowed to Kashyapa and gave him his 13 daughters in marriage. Of these daughters, Danu, who was very blessed and chaste, gave birth to 40 sons. They were all very spirited and known as Danavas. Amongst them, Viprachiti was prominent. He was most valorous, pious, and devoted to Lord Vishnu. His son's name was Dumba, and he obtained Shukracharya as his guru. Following his teacher's advice, he worshipped Lord Krishna at Pushkar by reciting the Krishna mantra for 100,000 years. Consequently, by Lord Krishna's boon, he was able to get a son like yourself. In your former birth in Goloka, you were very religious and were the chief cowherd friend of Lord Krishna. By Radha's curse, you have become lord of the demons here. But you are also a Vaishnav, and a Vaishnav regards everything, from the form of Lord Brahma down to the form of a blade of grass, as very illusory. Even if the four kinds of liberation are offered to him, namely Salokya, Sarshti, Sayusha, and Samipya, namely to live on the same planet as Lord Vishnu, to have the same opulences as Lord Vishnu, to merge with Lord Vishnu, and to have equal association with Lord Vishnu, respectively, he does not care at all for them, for he is only interested in serving Lord Vishnu. Nor does he care to have the position of Indra, Kuvera, or Brahma, for he thinks them all insignificant. He only cares to worship and serve Lord Krishna. Now, you are a true Krishna devotee. Therefore, why do you care for those things that belong to the demigods and which are false to you? Better return to the demigods their kingdoms and please me by this act. Let the demigods be reinstated in their own positions, and you govern your own kingdom happily. You are all descendants of Kashyapa Muni, so it is not desirable for relatives to feud. In fact, the sin committed by killing a Brahmin is not even 1/16th as great as that of creating hostilities amongst one's relatives. O king, pause. If you think that by restoring to the demigods their kingdoms you will lose prestige, you should also consider that no one's position is stable or unchanging. When the world is completely dissolved, even Lord Brahma disappears. Then, by the will of God, he subsequently reappears. And later, by virtue of his knowledge, he again creates everything. But the type of knowledge, intellect, and memory that people receive depends on the amount of austerity they practiced in their previous births. Also consider this. Truth is the support of Dharma, or virtue. In the Satya Yuga, the golden or truthful age, virtue is complete. In the Treta Yuga, or silver age, it is reduced by 1/4. In the Dwapara Yuga, or copper age, by 1/2. And in the Kali Yuga, or iron age, or age of quarrel, by 3/4. And at the end of the Kali Yuga, virtue becomes reduced even more, like the moon on the dark moon night. Or consider the sun. In the summer, its light is very intense, but not so in the winter. At noon, the sun is very hot, but not so in the morning and evening. In time, the sun rises. In time, it becomes powerful, and in time, it sets. By the working of time, it is obscured by clouds. Then consider the moon. When the moon is devoured by Rahu, as in a lunar eclipse, it trembles. When it is released, it becomes bright again. In the full moon night, it becomes full, but does not remain so. In the bright fortnight, it waxes daily. But in the dark fortnight, it wanes daily. In the bright fortnight, the moon looks healthy and rich. But in the dark fortnight, it looks decreasingly thinner, as if afflicted by consumption. Thus, at one time the moon looks powerful, and at another time it looks weak and pale. Similarly, Bali Maharaj is presently living in Patala Loka, one of the planets beneath the earth, but at another time he will become lord of the demigods. At one time the earth is lush with grains and is the resting place of all beings, but at another time it becomes covered with water. The entire world, including everything moving and non-moving, appears at one time and disappears at another. Only Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, remains the same. It is by His grace that I obtained the name Mrityunjaya, or the Conqueror of Death. I have witnessed many disillusions of the world, and I shall continue to witness them. Lord Krishna is both material nature and the Supreme Being. He is the individual soul as well as the Supreme Soul. Though he assumes many forms, he is beyond those forms. Whoever repeats his name and sings his glories can conquer death. He does not come under the influence of birth, death, disease, old age, and fear. Lord Krishna has created Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver, and me, the destroyer. By his will, we possess those potencies and influences. O King, I have delegated Kala, Agni, and Rudra to do the work of destruction, whereas I myself only repeat his name and sing his glories incessantly, day and night. For this reason, I am called Mrityunjaya, and by my knowledge, I have conquered death. I am fearless. When death sees me, he flies away, just as snakes flee when they see Garuda.
King Shankarchuda thanked and praised Lord Shiva repeatedly and replied modestly, "What you have said is quite true, but please allow me to say a few words. Kindly listen. You have just said that fighting with one's relatives is a great sin. Then why did the Lord, on behalf of the demigods, take away all of Bali Maharaj's possessions and send him down to Patala? And why did the Lord, for the same reason, kill Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Shumba, and other Danavas? Long ago, the demons and the demigods worked hard together, churning the ocean to obtain nectar from it. But why did the Lord give the nectar to the demigods? O Lord, this universe is the sporting ground of Lord Krishna, and anyone he favors with fortune and glory obtains them. The quarreling between the demigods and the demons is eternal. Victory and defeat come to each party alternately. So it is improper and unnecessary for you to interfere in our quarrel. For you, O great Lord, are both my relative and my friend, and your nature is of the highest self. To you, the demigods and the demons are equal. So it is certainly shameful for you to become our opponent and favor the demigods. If you win this battle, the glory and fame you would gain would not be as great as if we win. And if we defeat you, the disgrace and infamy you would earn would be much greater than that which we would if we were defeated. For we are small and you are great. Lord Shiva smiled and gently said, O King, you have descended from a Brahmin family, so if I am defeated by you, how shall I incur shame? In former days, the Lord fought with Madhu and Kaitava, as well as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And I fought with Tripur. And the Universal Mother, Durga Devi, fought with Shumba and other demons. But none of the demons just mentioned, who were killed in the war, can be compared to you in prowess. You are the best of Lord Krishna's attendants. The demigods have sought Lord Hari's protection, so he has sent me on their behalf to approach you. If I am defeated by a sublime person like yourself, how can I be disgraced? But I'm surprised to hear you talk of disgrace and infamy. There is no point in continuing this useless talk. Now, either return to the demigods their kingdoms, or prepare to fight with me. I am firm in my determination.